some reason it seems to fit, especially with the fairgrounds and the track there, but yeah, that multifamily kind of fills in also.
Let's just put that way. I just thought the more flexible it can be, the more creative it can be with our signs.
Can we have a question, really? And I don't know about this, because I'm not a land use guy as much as Dan is, but does it make any sense at all to have conditional uses? I know that Emerson, I mean, that airport operator, the first year I had it, was under a conditional use permit with Spokane. I was saying that conditional uses, that way it's a case by case. The planning commission, the city council, it's only everybody saying we look at it on a case by case. And this is a unique thing. We're not going to have six airports in the world, we're going to have one. And so you consider these things, I thought, well, maybe a conditional use program or something like multifamily. One of the things that strikes me is the area just north of my house, you know, the part that's the 10-acre notch that's out of it, wouldn't be an area for multifamily. I think there is some multifamily there already. But it would be nice if that also allowed the flexibility for hangar buildings or the Mastodon Museum or however it would coordinate to be a possibility. That was kind of one of my thoughts, and it's just because I don't understand the zoning process very well.
Yeah, I will say I've always liked the conditional use. You know, I don't know if it's more of a hassle for the city, Brad, you could probably go into that. Isn't the hearing examiner going to make you see those?
Yeah. I have my hand up.
Yeah, go ahead.
What is the purpose of the limited open space airport is to protect the airport? If you suddenly make it multifamily allowed, that's to keep someone from coming in and making the entire thing multifamily.
Right.
So if you want to have that remodeled up there multifamily, comp plan it out of that other SA and comp plan it into multifamily.
Yes.
With maybe then changing the multifamily zoning to allow airport hangars to want to be flexible. Because if the purpose for doing this is to protect an airport, there's nothing to say that somebody can't get by the property from you and say, look, it's multifamily.
Yeah.
All those hangars become apartments.
Yeah,
and you don't have an airport anymore.
So what do you have a setbacks?
Well, you just rezone you comp plan the bulk at the top,
right,
with the multifamily. Take it out of the rest because you don't want to be airports out on it.
Commissioners, any other questions?
Yeah. Or it could be something that you could address later. If it turned out that's what you ended up on, you could address it.
Sure. I mean, it's going to go back to your definition of LOSA. What's allowed, and if what you want to do with that north 10 acres doesn't fit under that definition of LOSA that's in the comp plan and the rezone potentially, then you come back and start another process. You propose another amendment to the comp plan to take that 10 acres and make it something else and see what happens with that process.
So if you could just rifle that piece out, create an attached parcel just for that piece.
Sure. Can we go back to the ownership map unless someone else has this?
What is the ownership map?
The property line map.
Okay.
The overlay on the
overlay. You know,
the blank ones on it.
Might be better.
Right. Let's see it. Okay. I'm just going to go through them all.
I think if you go into your zoning designation.
Oh, that one works.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. First off, the southern triangle that's just adjacent to the parking lot, who owns that? It's to the right, Brad. That's not the
county.
No, the one below that.
And that's the other county too.
Okay.
That's actually one piece of property.
Okay. So, and I think I remember reading somewhere this would be, there's a freeway, two parties involved, the county, the city, and the airport.
Right.
The piece there on the westerly end, off the end of the proposed run, that piece, yes, and that's owned by
the city,
as is the north portion.
Right here, and the city.
And to the Foothills development. Wasn't some of this property acquired as a result of that development, and there was some conservation?
Conservation keepers, yeah.
You have to give them the money back. Oh, you have to give them the money back? With interest?
Sure. I would assume so, but we haven't.
Okay.
We haven't got that far. We just know that it says, if we change it, we have to give them the money back.
Okay, that answers my question. So it can be done?
Yes.
Okay, because there was something nagging in my head there about some restriction on title on that portion.
Okay. I got a quick question on that, if I may. Who gets the money back? I'm curious, who, the city will be paying?
Yeah, the people who gave us the money, which is Snohomish County Conservation Futures.
Okay.
So, and if you look at the county docket, there was actually quite, it happens quite often, that someone's purchased, the county's purchased something, and things have changed, and people have given the money back, and they've taken the restriction off the deed.
Gotcha, okay, thank you. Wayne?
Brad, didn't the county give us that property to the left of the parking lot?
No.
They didn't?
No. No, the fairgrounds wants to expand into that.
They do?
Yes. In fact, they're just doing a wetland study right now. Ooh, she's keeping up with it.
All right, very good.
Dave?
Brad, you're not a biologist. I'm not either. But we heard from, actually, I think Commissioner Schroeder and also Commissioner Christensen, sorry, who's not here this evening, about there being fish in the stream at the west end of 136th. Salmon. I've seen salmon in that stream.
My understanding is that there's a large drop from right at that intersection. So it was on the west side of Friends, where Jack and Box is, where you can see their setbacks and such. That is considered fish bearing.
So was that created then when Jack and the Box was developed, Brad?
No, the drop existed there already, but it's either right at the edge of the road or on the east side of the road, the pipe drop. So what is on Jack and Box side is considered fish bearing, and then they put in that buffer and did the mitigation. That's why you see the building setback and all the landscaping. So physically, I just can't remember if on the west side of the road or the east side of the road, there's an obstruction or height of pipe that it must be on the west side, because the height of the pipe that goes under the road, so fish can't get from Jack and the Box up and into the city's property or the airport. That's what I've been told.
But they do. We know for a fact they do. They've been observed.
Information will come out with what the county's doing right now, and if that's the case, then we will deal with that. But even more reason not to have them swim on the side of Highway 2. So.
Can I ask a question? Are you saying that there's been the same observed up in here or down in here?
The road to the north there, 136.
It says Monroe, where the matter.
Well, further in.
Okay. And then north of that, yeah.
So when these two streams that come down and feed this, you're saying there's been salmon seen up in here?
Yeah.
Somewhere along the way, I was told there was this.
All the fish in here is all underground. That stream that runs along that property line is underground.
Brad, do you know what we're talking about?
What was the, do you remember what the analysis from Jack and Box was?
No, because I remember when we did AMPM, why AMPM is set back so far from the road, and they have that big biosphere, which isn't biosphere, that's habitat. And I've actually seen salmon there myself. So prior to the new development up there, I saw salmon. So we'd have to look at the critical areas and see who's actually designated as fish bearing or non-fish bearing. So.
And
isn't there a zero setback on the close?
It has to do with buildings from the property line, not, that doesn't affect critical areas. If there's critical areas, it's no matter what the building was. It's only the buildings. I mean, whatever it is, what it will be when we go through that. process, but then that would be a better reason to have the stream restored, as opposed to the straight line that it is right now.
And one of the things that we've been talking about is the enhancement of the stream that down through here back to when, what it used to be. And that's part of one of the things, you know, it has a lot of challenges, obviously. But that's one of the things that, you know, that's how I started my, is restoring it from the effects of all the development upstream that's caused it. Now, when you're going to come down there and understand it's been dredged two or three times already, and it's still, it just really pulls it in the ground.
I'm a big supporter of those restoration.
Yeah.
Correct, absolutely.
One of the great benefits of this project is you can restore it back to where it was. It's gaining a lot.
Thank you, Dave, for bringing that up. That occurred to me earlier and I forgot about it. Anybody else want to touch on that? Or Dave, you got something else?
I just re-emphasize my main comment, and that is that as a planning commissioner, this needs to make sense to me as supporting and furthering an essential public facility. And that's really what it comes down to. And then it needs to be supported by the community. And all the other stuff we'll get worked through, obviously. But when we start to talk about all these other additional uses, I start to get a little nervous about code that's unpredictable, code that's vague, code that's too broad, and code that can, for all intents and purposes, lose sight of what the intent was in the first place, and that is preservation of an airport. And if all of a sudden NASCAR is now 90% of the operation, we've got planes that take off and land from time to time, I think we've lost what the objective is here. And if that's ultimately the thought as to what will happen, then we better formulate this along this process with that in mind. But that's not what I'm hearing is the intent. So then I want to make sure we stated the intent.
Ben, is there a statutory requirement that this remain an airport?
Just pretty much the comprehensive land use plan, which says that what we'll do is restore to remain an airport. But there's no state law that says it has to be an airport.
But it's not mandated.
Just by ourselves, except for the, it's actually one of the state, I think it's one of the state GMA goals, or just a state goal for transportation that you don't lose more airports. Yeah. But it's not, it's a goal and not a statute that says you can't do anything else with it.
Federal.
No.
It's a national goal.
Well, I will say I like most of what I hear about the project. Some of the details, I think, I want to see closer as we get further along and start working on some of these definitions. But in general, I think the airport is a good thing for the city, and I would like to see it become or remain viable. I think it's a positive thing, and I just want to make sure we do it. If it does go forward, that's done appropriately for everyone.
Not really. Well, I see where Dave is coming from on that zoning of it, and I agree there. I'm not. We haven't got anything definite on that yet, though. How are we going to change that now?
I'm not sure what you're asking. Are you talking about the multifamily portion?
Yeah.
I think we have options we haven't figured out yet.
Okay. All right.
In the formal proposal that I prepared, it does not include multifamily. So that if you want to change it, for example, that's proposing, you can do that. But if you don't want to, you can just continue on with the analysis and assessment of what will happen.
Okay.
Jeff? I presume that in all of this, you've accommodated the interest of Northwest Pipeline Corporation.
They have currently had a meeting,
right?
So
they're
creating
this is not going to preclude you from doing something that you envision doing here.
Okay. Commissioners, anything else? Dan, anything else?
No, I'm good. Like I said, I'm sorry that couldn't find the one you guys with more pictures, but I think it serves the purpose. And in my idea, we're looking at all the way through this process. And so we ultimately end up with what the city wants, but the landowner is able to build and that the project can be sustainable.
Well, thank you. I like pictures and all, but I really like the interaction myself, so it was very helpful, I think. Wayne?
I have one question. When you extend this runway out to the west, I helped Cal Farnback pull the airplane out of there when he landed there. But there's 3 feet of muck in that hole. I mean, right to your knees, who's going to run knees? And we took plywood and laid out and ran the airplane on top of plywood all the way out to the gas station. And how are we going to get rid of that muck?
Can I answer that?
Yeah, go ahead.
There's some technology now that I wasn't aware of until fairly recently. And one of the key things is pervious concrete. And what pervious concrete is essentially water goes right through it. So the short answer is probably going to be a piling affair with pervious concrete on top of it, and you won't affect the wetland near as much as you would, you know, dug it all out here with solid piece in.
Okay.
And my cousin actually lives in Portland and is sort of a semi-expert on it. He and I have sat down and done some designs, and so we got a pretty good handle on how that would go. I just was amazed that you guys all aware of pervious concrete.
I know.
I thought boy, that would work. So avenues.
It's expensive, but
It's expensive, but you know, it'd be expensive to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And one other thing, there's a lot of economical things being looked at as far as feasibility, that we're just not down that process enough yet. But in looking at mitigation, we looked at the wetland banking and potentially exchange the refilling back, purchase of wetland banking over taking the river area, and then just take the river now and the rest of the house and put some structure fill back in there. But the pathways of distance is pervious concrete.
And just since we're talking about pervious concrete, that is one of the elements that will most likely be proposed on the site as a whole in order to deal with stormwater. So because there is more pervious surface that will be proposed with the buildings and such, and that's one way to help cut down on the need to store.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate you coming in by the habit. Dan?
Yeah, appreciate the privileges. Support man airport.
See you sometime, Bill. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, I'll be very, very interested to see what the county's analysis comes back on, because that'll help us get a little farther along before we spend that.
We got more topics to do with that.
Lots and lots of it.
Did you have something you wanted to share on this, sir?
I had momentarily thought of a few things.
You're more than welcome to chime in if you would just give us your name.
And the video got better, so.
Oh, it did.
So.
All right.
So, well, actually, I do have a question for council.
Commission, don't give us a raise yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you could. just give us your name and address for the record.
My name's Kevin Donovan, 132 Northeast 60th Street. That's in Seattle, Washington.
Thank you.
Question I have as an observer is if you were here to not talk about development, but simply extending Berkeley, and that was the only issue on the table, would all the questions be the same here from the council?
Well, again, we're just the planning commission, but personally, I'll let everyone else speak too, but I see them as two separate things, I guess. You know, one is the runway expansion, which to me makes a lot of, it's very clear. And then as far as trying to redefine what can be developed there, it's kind of another side issue. I understand they're related and they're together, but in my point of view, I would see them as separate. Dave?
Brad? If it were only a runway expansion, there would still be changes of land use designation in the comprehensive plan involved. So, to answer your question, Kevin, it seems that there would be a comp plan amendment process to go through still, followed by a subsequent rezone. It just wouldn't be as broad in discussion and content. Brad, fair to put?
Correct.
Yeah.
If the application had just said we want to add that part down there to the otherwise A zone, to the runway boundary, and we don't care about adding the definitions to the definition of the otherwise A that would allow that other stuff that we want to do, you know, it would be a slightly different process. It would be the same process, but less to think about. So.
And it was good, you couldn't come in tomorrow and ask for a grading permit to extend the runway.
Right, no, you couldn't do that. They could to the end of their property is already LOSA.
Right,
yeah.
Great, thank you. That answers my questions.
Thanks for coming, Kevin.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Okay, so we'll move on here to the Roosevelt Road rezone. That's RZ 2011-01. This is the one. Could you look at
that? I'll bring
this in also. Thank you. Yes, Mr. Republican, you asked the questions last week about what you can do and not do, and since you've already kind of looked at this before and had contrary recommendations to the city council than what they did. So you gave you seven options, and the you can recommend approval, you can recommend denial. I think he mentioned last time that the State Law GMA Act, Growth Management Act, requires you to have the city have the zoning match the comprehensive plan designation. And this went through the city attorney, and while that is true, there's nothing in state law that says when it has to happen. It just leaves you open for a growth, what do you call it? The growth board appeal. Growth Management Board appeal that if you're working on something to get you there, you're less likely to get challenged by somebody saying that, you know, you're doing this for a reason.
And there's no good reason.
I need to interrupt because
why are we even doing this? This doesn't answer that question. This certainly gives us the options.
Right.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Why, you know, once it's been denied by the commission, or was recommended denied, excuse me, why then would we have to come back and, you know, rubber stamp something that was philosophically deniable in the past?
Right.
Because that's required as part of the process.
That's number seven, make no recommendation to council.
Yeah,
well, I think what I'm hearing you say, Brad, is that we don't we're not going through this process to rubber stamp, we don't have to do a grant, we don't have to recommend approval of the rezone.
Correct.
We have choices. Little being, I think, might have been a little bit, confused on some of the languages included in here that said we had to make a recommendation with the rezone. And I think that's where you're coming from. We don't have to make the recommendation.
Right.
We can go different directions.
You can recommend it, if denied, you can recommend that it be delayed and wait until the new transportation plan is done that will lay out what transportation improvements would be needed for an upzone in that area. Then the city's process of concurrency fees and mitigation would take care of any impacts that would be happening by having that rezone approved by the city council at a later date. So you could recommend that you don't think it should happen now and it should wait until the transportation plan is completed or updated to take into account the higher densities.
But my question still remains, why is this even on our agenda?
Because the city code requires it to come to you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's number seven.
Okay. Wayne?
Yes. On this, I was kind of hoping we had the joint meeting, which is going to be February 7th, before we made any decisions and find out exactly what the city was wanting out of us. I can't see us making any decision on this until we talk to them, and since it's a whole new council, totally different from what it used to be, they may go along with our recommendation. That's my comment.
Yeah, I mean, that could even be number, where did it go? I thought it was in there somewhere.
Well, I don't...
I recommend that the city council change the comprehensive land use designation back to the way it was.
Right, and I didn't see that one listed here, yeah. I went over it, but that was, I think, my...
I know Paul and I talked about it, but I guess it didn't get written down on the list. But
that was, I think what he was going to check with the city attorney on was, you know, I would think we'd be able to do it. I don't know why we wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But that was my opinion. I kind of got the impression that that was almost the opinion of the other commissioners. I want them to speak on that. But that was one of the things we felt.
And we're also not making a decision tonight because we have to go through the public hearing process and all that. So this is just...
So is this going to come to public hearing before our joint meeting?
No.
So
our joint meeting is the 7th.
Next time we meet.
Yeah.
So. Great. Dave?
Brad, I really appreciate the various suggestions in the form of options, the recommendations that are laid out here. And I agree that making no recommendation to Council Member 7 probably is not realistic. It seems to me that we need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be inclined to lean towards number 4, but expand it a bit. The comprehensive transportation plan is going to be updated when?
If it gets on the docket next, we're hoping for next year.
Our updating of it won't in any way impact that intersection, will it? It's a state highway.
We can, because we can add, right now the transportation plan doesn't have any improvements at that intersection, so we're not collecting any money to improve it.
Okay.
So it could come out that a project is added to that, first off, or the second one is the plan could determine that it's a level of service D or whatever it is now, and this is going to keep it, it's going to stay a level of service D. Because after you take out all the wetlands and everything that's already in that property, there's not really that many houses that can be built.
Only 100 or so.
Yeah, so that's what we'll go through that, and that'll come out. And so it could either say that there isn't going to be any degradation to the level of service, or there will be, and here's what needs to be done. It's going to cost this amount of money, and each house that's built up there needs to pay X number of dollars to do that.
Mm-hmm. So my thought would be number 4. But not only the comprehensive transportation plan being updated, but also the Snohomish County land use capacity analysis being updated as well to see if the need still exists. What really was the basis of this amendment in the first place? A big part of the argument or basis for the council's decision in making this 90s amendment to upzone this property was the, at the time, reported shortage of capacity in the city of Monroe. That situation may not exist any longer, at least as far as 2025 goes. And if those things were to come back as problematic on the transportation and unnecessary under the land use capacity, my suggestion would be that this be rolled back to what it was.
And make the land use basic, you know, wait until what the new update, the 2015 comprehensive plan update shows that it's designated as before we change the zone.
And I'm correct on that, that there are no property owners pushing for this rezone?
No.
They weren't even pushing for the comp plan amendment. It was entirely city initiated. And it was in response to this perceived shortfall of capacity.
And then the mayor will also be talking about on the 7th, meeting on the 7th, is some other places he's interested in increasing density, which, you know, well, we'll increase it here and not do it there.
Well, we talked about that the last time, that maybe there are places that are more efficient than this.
Yeah.
In regards to all the service issues that you're going to have to deal with down the road as far as supplying whatever those homes need in order to function. So there is no specific deadline under which we're being constrained.
Okay. And I would assume the appeal or the complaint to the growth management board would be from a property owner who wants to develop, saying, you're delaying my project by not upzoning me, and since no one there wants to be upzoned, the likelihood of someone doing filing that complaint is relatively small.
There's the fire.
Yeah.
Very informative, thank you.
Yeah, what I was talking about when I first read this the other night, since it's a traffic situation problem, most of people complaining after I put down here, recommend this zoning when Washington State finishes Highway 2 bypass. That could work on both ends of town.
Great. Commissioners, any other questions or comments on this particular item?
I guess I would like to see it on the agenda for the joint meeting, which is going to be in 2 weeks, I believe. Is that 2 weeks or?
Two weeks.
And at least if there's support for what I suggested, that number four, then that be shared with the council. That'd be my thought.
Those would be my thoughts.
Jeff, anything else?
Is that big nodding amongst all of you for that number four-ish kind of thing? Okay.
Well, I think number four, you know, we can kick the can with that. And so I see maybe with some appropriate modifications, that something like that would help us, you know, just buy some time. So I do understand then that nobody within this area has come to the city and said, hey, what gives? We need to get moving on an application, so you haven't...
That I'm aware of, they did not bring up the applications from the city, not from the property owner.
But nobody has come in and said, hey, we want...
The only person I've heard is somebody who's come in and said, why are you doing it? So...
In fact, if I remember correctly, at the public hearing on this, I think, I can't say for certain, but I'm pretty sure every property owner that spoke was against it.
For doing it.
So, okay. Wait.
That was it.
So you're okay with number four then?
Yes.
And I personally would like to see number eight, which is just revert back. I don't need to see a delay, quite frankly, but I'm okay with four also, so.
Four, including what I suggest as far as the land use capacity analysis update.
And then possibly revert back, yeah. Okay. Brad, anything else on this?
Nope. Does that help?
That helps.
All right, well then our final item is review of the Monroe Zoning Code, ZCA 2011-02.
There's a couple things. Can I make asides?
We need to rewrite the zoning code.
We've learned a couple of things that
are kind of interesting in the zoning code, and one of them has to do with the airport. When we adopted 1860, it said 90 days following this passage of this ordinance, you have to mail out a notice to everybody within a certain distance. There was like 2,000 property owners there, giving them this notice and saying they're in airport overlay zone, and here's a copy of the regulations. And every 5 years after that, so the 5 years is approaching quickly. We were looking at that, and the cost to mail that section of the zoning code is actually rather high, you know, as opposed to, you know, 45 cents for a postcard, you're going to do, you know, a pound of paper to everybody. I would like to have that phrase removed from the code. It would say, well, send them a postcard that says, you're in the airport overlay zone, you have any questions, you can go online, read it here, or call Paul, and he'll tell you all about it. Something like that.
Yeah,
it's Trump Hall, it's Southern Hall.
Who was it that brought that up?
Was that you, Dave, that brought that up last?
Yeah. The whole thing about sending out that notice?
Well, Paul brought it up.
Oh, did he?
And I suggested it would be a great opportunity to inform the population of what's proposed for the airport.
Yes, that's right.
Right. But we can also do that with just a postcard with a link to a couple, you know, pages on our website.
Was it brought up about putting in the water bill?
Yeah, but remember, most of those people don't have a water.
Oh.
Because it's Robin Hood. So that
obligation extends outside the city limits?
Yes.
I have no problem with that, Dan.
Okay.
Do we need to go to a public hearing for that zone?
Yes.
We do.
It's the land use code, so let's go to public hearing and be sent off to the Department of Commerce for their approval and things like that, so.
Okay. Commissioners, any opposition to us kind of speeding this up? Because it doesn't have to happen quickly.
And I'm suggesting having the public hearing on the 13th of February, I do believe.
So that would be a special meeting?
No, that's your real meeting.
That's our real meeting.
It's going to be a big one. The first meeting in June, the correct meeting is a special meeting for that. Yes, we do it tomorrow. Yeah.
Commissioners, any opposition to rolling forward with this one?
No.
No.
Okay. Sounds good.
The other one is our newly adopted mixed-use zones. We've run into a couple problems as people have been coming in for sprucing up their houses and things, and somebody came in and wanted to do a garage, and it used to be a 5-foot side yard setback, and now it's a 10-foot side yard setback, and the garage won't fit next to their house. So we were looking at changing that section of the code to go from 10-foot minimum to a minimum of 5 with a total of 15. So you're going to put, you've got 5 on one side, 10 on the other side, 8 and 7, you know, 6 and 9, whatever. Just leave a little bit more flexibility and also not take that, what they had before, which was the 5 feet from them.
So I've struggled with 5 to 10 foot range, Brad. If property owner Roy on the left side there, here's a property owner Dave on the right side, is going to put a detached shop up, garage up. Can Roy quickly get an application with a 5-foot setback and force him to go to 10?
No, it's your property. You have 5 on one side of your property and 10 on the other, so there could be 2 5s next to each other.
So 5 on one side of my lot, 10 on the other side.
Right.
If you already have 10 on one side, then you can go to 5.
Yeah, it's not the adjacent property owner that gets to decide, but you get to decide.
So what if I'm less than 5 on both sides?
Now?
Mm-hmm.
Then it's theirs.
But I want to add a garage.
Okay. I'd have to look at that. I'm not sure off the top of my head. It probably, off the top of my head, I would say you can't increase the nonconformity.
But would I be 5 feet or 10 feet? Which side would it be?
Yeah, good question.
You're the engineer.
I'm the plumber.
I would think if you have a situation, which you just described,
where you could have five and five, and it's silly to have force 10 on the other side. It seems to me it should just be 5 feet.
Okay.
Unless you have modulation requirements, you know, as you go up and...
You do, yeah, that's in there now, yeah.
Okay.
And I'm going to agree with Commissioner Sherwood, someone better write this down.
MD, but, well...
The but would be, if we've got a new development going in that's not residential, but is now perhaps mixed use, and maybe it's only going to be one story somehow, do they get that 5 feet also, because of the use changing from, if it's next to a residential use, does a new use stay at 5 or do they go to 10? And one of the purposes of this was to increase the buffers between the dissimilar uses.
And I thought that was already in the code, that if a different use came in, 10 feet would be on.
The code said everything now has to be 10. For that reason, we're not thinking about if someone's keeping residential and wants to put a garage on, it'll have to be 10.
What about commercial?
I mean, that's up to you. Your proposal right now is just to change it to your proposal is to change it to 5 on one side, total of 15.
And we can go anyway with it.
You want to make it, if it's only residential, it can be 5. If it's mixed use, it has to be 10, or...
And it was 5 and 5.
It was 5 and 5.
And we changed it, and we changed it to mixed use to 10 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are complaining. Is it possible for us, because we like to keep things complicated, to put in the code that if it's an existing single-family dwelling that they can go with 5 and 5 for improvements? Or am I just overthinking this?
No, I mean, yeah, you can do that.
Commissioners?
And that's what my thought would be, is that if it's a residential use, single-family, it's 5 foot. If it's a mixed use, or multifamily even, it's 10 feet.
There you go. That sounds good.
Yeah.
That's pretty straightforward.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
So a single family would be 5 and 5,
right.
And then multi or
any other
mixed is 10 and 10.
Yeah, I would say 10 and 10 with the exception of single family, 5 and 5.
Right, okay. And then the other stuff could be like the third story has to be back another 5 or 10 or whatever it is. The fourth story has to be back farther.
Yeah,
the
thing. Perfect, Dave.
And do we have an exception we brought for the zero outlines?
Is this what would you like one?
Well, otherwise it's going to be tough to build them, isn't it?
Good, what?
A zero outline structure.
Yes.
Yes, it'd be very tough.
Yeah.
I don't see why we should make it impossible to build a zero lot line.
No.
And so we need to provide perhaps a footnote for that.
Well, is number 6? Does number 6 cover that?
Where's number 6?
Last page.
I guess it would, yes.
Yeah, so I guess
in footnote number 6?
Footnote,
yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. I think we covered it.
Yeah. Okay.
Between buildings, but is there a lot between units? Good.
Well, for that, you're going to get substantially reworked.
Yeah.
Based on our discussion here.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the zero lot line footnote, let's go.
Good. Anything else on this one, commissioners?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. We're now on to discussion by commissioners and staff. Brad, I'll start with you.
Okay, thank you.
Jeff, any?
The only thing I want to keep the back of my lines on this airport thing is that if there is a change in ownership, you know, just looking at that, because that concerns me that the whole thing may blow up tomorrow if someone comes in and signs a purchase and sale agreement. We have no interest in any of this that we talked about.
Dick?
But a lot of owners, Jeff, in the process of trying to enhance value, seek to change comp plan amendment, comp plan designations seek to change zoning in hopes of selling and generating more dollars. I mean, why should this be any different?
Just because we expended this effort and went through this process, and we spent all that money, and there's going to be a lot more going forward, that effort, time, and money not be wasted.
It's their choice.
Moving forward on the process.
But it's their choice to keep going forward.
Yeah, that's true. Doesn't make sense to me that they would.
So is your concern that the property would then be sold and it would no longer be an airport? Is that your concern?
I you know, that is certainly a possibility. That's why I asked Brad the question, is it required, whoever would buy this, that they must keep an airport there? And the answer is no, you see. So I certainly we can protect it, I think, you know, through the administration. Say, someone comes in and says, hey, we want to put up 600 apartment units. Mm-hmm. And we'll do all the mitigation and all that. And say, it's just not consistent with the plan from the vision.
Right.
No. But there's nothing to prevent that from happening. Okay? If a change in ownership takes place, you know, within 60 or 90 days.
Well, it is. It's not permitted use. I mean, it's really on its own property.
Yeah, I mean, they can close the airport and say, we're not using it anymore, it's empty. I mean, they have to come back and ask for a comp plan amendment to change it to something.
Yeah, they may have to turn me in apartment.
You know, apartment inside.
Yeah, could happen.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, it concerns me that if it has been thought before that this is a really good idea to, you know, keep the airport, protect the airport, do whatever we can to enhance its liability and so on and so forth, which is a joint interest, right, between, you know, public and private, in that sense, that all can go out the window in a moment of time.
Yeah.
You know, with a change of ownership. Because let's face it, if that, all this, you know, it says in the listing that the hangars right now are 100% full. Mm-hmm. If, you know, the guy from Monopoly comes in, you know, chewing a cigar and says, this is not going to be an airport anymore, because I just bought it and they said it's not going to be an airport anymore, and all that just, poof, goes up in smoke. Because if it's not going to be an airport, why would they want hangars? Unless they're in there, you know, making furniture or something.
Right.
It's carpenters.
Yeah, I think going through this process, in my mind, it may not be accurate, is that in a way we are doing more to protect its use as an airport than if we did nothing. The impression I got is, in its current state, not being able to do any type of commercial use out of it, it appears, it was stated that it's not quite viable.
Yeah. The reason the multifamily popped up in radar is we run the numbers and they said the only way this is going to work is if we make more money, and one of those ways was sell a multifamily site or build apartments and rent, something that, okay, if we put that on the plus side of the ledger, then it helps the thing work. That's why that happened.
Well, that's my comment about it not being, appearing to not be an economically viable airport,
right,
even with the changes,
yeah,
because that money would dry up. And then what have we accomplished?
But you could also do that by letting that owner do the improvements on the property that has been complained to be not LOS.
Yes.
So leave the LOS, which keeps the airport as opposed to making LOSA have apartments in it, because we're going to do the entire thing with apartments.
Right. And then we had the discussion that less or more use flexibility, I think, you know, for moving forward, we've got to give as much flexibility as is reasonable and consistent for the vision for the city. It gives them the best chance to make the thing work. In my opinion, that's how I see it.
Yeah.
Dave, anything?
Couple things. Brad, has Bridgestone now been replaced by Firestone?
They're the same people.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Okay, and have...
I'm not really sure if it's Bridgestone is, you know, the parent and Firestone's under, or Firestone's the parent and Bridgestone's under, but so that those are interchangeable names.
And is Next Close a medical group?
Yes.
So, based on their letter of intent, they're really going to take the bulk of the South property at this point, looks like.
Their letter of intent does basically the, everything that's west of Lowe's, all the way from Dirk Kelsey to Tierney.
So given the recent Superior Court decision on Walmart, and his emphasis on the fact that the integrity of the North Chelsea subway plan is preserved by the availability still of the South Chelsea property, what does this mean ultimately for the subway plan? And all of it. It's gone, right?
Yeah, because there's still the property between Firestone, Bridgestone, and Nextcore to place pedestrian amenities on.
That's about 2 or 3 acres.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Which would have limited connectivity to the north to Walmart.
Except for the trail.
Right. Okay. All right. What's the status on the EIS on East Monroe? Where's that process at?
Hanging out? Yeah.
So it's not...
I was going to have a little look at it all day today, except in Paul called.
And I was just noticing that it seems that these computers, these laptops in here now have a greater degree of access to various sites.
They should have a way to go to City Hall, City's website.
Right, that's what I'm referring to. But my comment was going to be, it would really be nice if there was access to the city's code and comp plan and various components on here.
Okay.
Because once in a while, beyond just the maps, it's nice to be able to refer to the comp plan.
But the comp plan isn't currently on available at all. Online.
I know.
At all. Yeah.
I found that last week. Paul and I talked about that. And let's see, I think that... is it? Are we letting go of our next regularly scheduled meeting in exchange for the meeting with...
No, because you have a public hearing that day.
And that date is when?
The 13th of February.
So that would be our next meeting?
Yes.
The 7th.
Yeah, so you have the 7th and the 13th.
The 7th is with council.
Council, and then...
On Tuesday.
On Monday, the 13th.
And then again on the 28th.
And then again on the 27th.
7th.
Okay, no meeting on the 6th, which is a Monday.
Right, because that's the first Monday.
That's right. We're not going to be meeting anyone. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Wait, anything?
Just wondering if there's any more applications for our group.
Yes. Do they have anything today?
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's the schedule of the interview.
Good. Thank you.
Did I hear a hern? Is that what I heard?
One application, right?
One application, yeah.
We know that it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't have anything except for we had on here on the discussion and preparation for the joint meeting. Do we know what all we're going to be discussing with the council at this joint meeting? Or will we find out when we get our packet, or do we know?
I know that the mayor wants us to present to you and the city council his vision for some improvements to the zoning comp plan designation and connectivity with Main Street. And then it's basically a ability for the city council and the planning commission to discuss this year's docket so that you don't we're too far that way when they're expecting you to go that way and you get to the end and, you know, you've spent all this time doing something and they're going, huh? Well, at least you know you're wandering off in a different direction than what they're expecting. Yeah. So.
Okay. Dave?
I shared with Paul a week or so ago an element of Duval's comprehensive plan with regard to visioning. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he passed that by you or not.
No.
And it's an interesting document. It talks about, you know, where do we want to see this city in 20 years? And we really don't have anything like that to speak of in our comprehensive plan. And I, for one, think that there'd be some more benefit for the city to develop further its vision. Where do we want to go? Where do we, for those of you that have kids, where do you want them to have a chance to raise their kids? Wayne, you've been here a long time. You know what I
did that once.
You did that once. How long ago was that?
I did that 20 years thing. In fact, that was kind of the whole thing when we were on there. Everybody was thinking 20 years down the road.
Well, and our comprehensive plan obligates us to look at a 20-year horizon, but we basically do it on nuts and bolts issues. We don't do it on what some might say are those subjective, soft, touchy-feely sort of issues. But I really think that touchy-feely sort of issues are an important part of the community and where it's going to go. So, I don't know, maybe, I guess I'm suggesting that it would be nice to see some discussion on that.
I think it would be appropriate to do that as part of the 2015 update to the comprehensive plan, which we are starting in June of this year. So I'm assuming that part of it will bring stuff to you, you know, later this year, which, you know, make it a list of, you know, what do you want to have in the comp plan for the next update? And then you'd like to be...
But shouldn't the council be on board with that if that's...
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the whole... The real work starts in 2013.
Right.
So the 2012 is kind of deciding what we're to do in 2013. So we can either bring it up on the 7th or, you know, think about it more amongst yourselves and, you know, have staff take it to the council later on.
So can we take that initiative? Or is that going too far astray? Go for it.
So Wayne, are we where you thought we would be in the beginning of 2012?
In some areas, not all of them. Things have changed. Growth Management Act came involved, and that kind of screwed things up pretty good. And but otherwise, we did a pretty good job. We put the mural into work. We started the industrial park, but it's not all over the floor now like it was, because that's the economy. But we pretty well done. Well, we developed all of Firelands Industrial Park, everything west of, or north of Highway 2, we pretty well did all that. And we got in trouble a few times. Quite a few times, because we went faster than we should have, because we were doing things so fast, we were overlooking a few things. One of the things we probably should have looked into that we really got screwed up on was truck routes. We need to designate truck routes in City Monroe, which we haven't done yet.
Well,
is Fireland Boulevard coming up? No.
We have to include the truck routes, and Fireland's doing one of them. That's what we screwed up. Yeah. We have truck routes. and that's why our evaluation came up, is because Fireland wasn't designated this one.
But I remember talking about the roundabout. I pushed that pretty hard. We figured 20 years down the road, what would happen if we put lights instead of the roundabout? And we would have traffic backed up over the river to 522. We might have anyway, but it'd be a lot less traffic. There's only 1 second delay according to any engineer that designed it. So.
The document I'm referring to isn't very long. It might be 70 pages, which is actually fairly long to come to think of it, but you can really look at certain parts of it and get a feel. There's one part that's almost a look into the future. There's one walk through the town of Duval in this case. What would you see? What's that, where Safeway's at now? What's the downtown like? You know, what sort of people are using it? What sort of activities taking place there? I think it might be worthwhile to ask Paul, if the commission is interested, to circulate the link that I sent him so that you all could see what I'm talking about.
I'd like to see it.
Brad, could you pass that on, please? Thank you.
you. I was on the Snohomish County Growth Management, before the growth management, it was called Snohomish County Mall. And one of the questions, every representative from every city in the county was there, and we had quite a discussion, open discussions. And each person, each councilman from every city, was asking the question, what is your city gonna look like 20 years from now? It was a 20-year thing then too. And, of course, when we come to Monroe, we had no idea what was going on, but, they asked me what I thought Monroe would be like, what the prison would be like in 20 years. And I told them there's 400 acres up there, and it'll probably be pretty well filled up by the time, with prisons by the time of 20 years, which, it's, what is it, 3 or 4 new units have been put in since then. It was pretty well accurately on that. At the particular time also, we were very limited. Monroe was very small. And we had trouble getting annexations because we had to go through the county to get approval. And I suggested that we have more property to develop. And they didn't go along with that very much at all. The county didn't like that at all, but we ended up doing quite a bit. We had a fight for every piece of property we got. But, it was mostly, that's the way it started off. And the Growth Management Act kind of picked off, came in after that, very shortly after that.
Okay. Well, I don't have anything else. That is it. I would entertain him. Dave?
Tim, thank you for sending the package.
Oh, sure.
So it's going to turn. I'll second it.
Okay. Motion made by Commissioner Sherwood, seconded by Commissioner Demarest. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?